Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week we'll be hearing from the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance, taking you beyond the numbers and the hype and getting to the heart of the big issues of the day. This week we're talking equities and exploring the idea of overvalued stocks. The US benchmarks keep hitting record highs, along with global stocks more generally. Should this worry investors, or is there more to come? Our panel of global experts will deliver its verdict in this week's programme. We start by putting a simple question to Jeremy Zirin, Chief Equity Strategist at UBS in the Wealth Management Americas division. Are stocks overvalued?
We don't think so, largely because it depends on how you consider valuation, right? So valuations of the equity markets right now in the U.S. are about at 19.5 times trailing earnings and 17.5 times forward earnings. So in absolute terms, they are above average levels. But given the backdrop of a moderately growing economy with very low interest rates, typically equities do trade at above average valuations in those type of environments. So we think that while stocks are trading at above average valuations, it's warranted given the environmental factors.
We asked the same question of Adrian Zercher, UBS Head of Asset Allocation for APAC.
Well, if you compare the historical average of the major global equity indices, we actually just around the average level. So if you go back to the last 30 years, you take an average price to equity ratio, most of the markets are actually only trading at their long-term average. So we would not say equity markets are in particular expensive at this stage.
And we asked Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek whether stocks are overvalued.
Well, if you're talking about stocks being overvalued, you're talking about something that's inherently technical, and there are a variety of technical measures for measuring whether stocks are over or undervalued. If you apply them to US stocks, it does point to the suggestion that they are. Look at the relative strength index. It measures the speed and change of price movements between 0 and 100. Anything above 70 is overbought territory. And indeed, the Standard & Poor's index in the US, the benchmark US index, has been above 70 since February the 13th. It's the longest time it's consistently been overbought for years, which indicates that a reversal is possible. We could get a correction or a drop in stock prices. Similarly, with the PE ratio, which you get by dividing the stock price by the earnings per share, although that gets criticized for being outdated, it also shows the stocks, the S&P, not far off a record high of 21.83, which is set on 24th of February, just a couple of weeks ago. So the technical levels certainly suggest the stocks are overvalued, but this is only one way of analysing where we are with equity markets.
David Lefkowitz is US equity strategist for UBS. The US benchmarks do keep hitting record highs, along with global stocks more generally. Should this worry investors, in his view?
Part of the reason that stocks are hitting new highs is that earnings, certainly here in the US, are hitting new highs. So there doesn't seem to be a disconnect between what the stock market is doing and the corporate fundamentals that we're observing. Outside the U.S., the same is true. We're seeing an improvement in earnings growth globally as we emerge from the industrial recession that was partly caused by the big crash in oil prices. So global growth is getting a bit better, and part of the reason why stocks have performed the way they have since the election.
So should investors be worried? Well, don't confuse record highs with market peaks, explains Jeremy Zirin.
In bull markets, equity indices continue to hit new record highs. And the most important factor here is that earnings are also, especially in the U.S., hitting record highs. So we're not overly concerned that the market has extended from a valuation perspective. We think that the economy is gaining momentum. Typically, you worry about valuation if you're at such extreme levels that it leads to weaker forward-looking returns. And on our analysis, the market trading between 18 and 20 times earnings, if you go back to 1960, on average, the S&P has generated about a 10% return in the next 12 months when we have been at similar valuation levels. So there doesn't seem to be an alarm or cause for alarm simply because the market is trading at a high teens multiple.
And should investors be worried, in Sebastian Salek's view?
Well, if you look at the technicals, certainly it suggests that investors should be worried we could get some sort of correction, which is a fall of at least 10% or even a bubble. If you speak to Warren Buffett, though, he's more optimistic. He says we're not in a bubble. Stocks, in fact, are relatively cheap. So opposing views there. There is one argument, though, not to worry, because if you look at the economic fundamentals in the US, they seem strong enough to support further gains. GDP continues to show growth. Employment has risen steadily. We've reached peak unemployment. And if you look at the 2017 earnings per share estimates for the S&P, they've held steady. So you'll get endless opinions on whether we should worry or not, whether we're overvalued or not. But that is one argument to suggest that this isn't something to worry about.
According to Adrian Zurcher, is everyone focused on US benchmarks?
We run global portfolios with an Asian bias. So we are definitely interested in what's going on in the US and its the bellwether economy and also the bellwether stock market. So, yes, it's true that the equity market is actually hitting new highs, but it's not just driven by higher valuation. It's in particular over the last couple of months driven by higher earnings, which basically also justifies the latest increase.
Is there more to come, or is it a little previous to think in those terms? I put that to David Lefkowitz.
Bull markets don't die of old age. There's usually a set of conditions that you typically see before the end of a bull market. And usually those conditions are inflation is rising, the Fed is getting more uncomfortable with the pace of inflation and is trying to rein in economic growth. Usually the banks are beginning to get a little bit more restrictive in terms of access to capital. The getting a little bit technical here, but the yield curve is usually flatter. So short answer is usually you get tighter financial conditions. And that is what is usually the catalyst for a slowdown. And then if it slows down too much, we can get an unwinding of some of the bad investments that were made during the expansion. And that's really what, by definition, is sort of a recession. So we're not seeing any of those kinds of conditions right now. And I think that bodes well for continued gain.
And anything else to think about in terms of valuations?
Valuations, the PE multiple, for instance, here in the U.S. is a little bit higher than long-term averages, but a couple things to bear in mind. PE multiples or just valuation in general is a very poor market timing tool. There's really virtually no correlation between valuations and returns over the next in time periods less than 3 years. And there are also periods when valuations should be higher than normal. And I would say we're in one of those periods where inflation and interest rates are low and growth is durable. That's usually an environment where you see higher than average valuations.
And we asked Jeremy Zirin too whether there's more to come or if it's a bit previous to think like that.
We continue to be constructive on the U.S. equity market. We are overweight equities versus fixed income. We overweight the U.S. equity market relative to other global equity markets. And we still think that the bull market will continue in 2017.
Still to come on the Bulletin with UBS, we'll consider regional variations around the globe. Here in the UK, there's been plenty of coverage post-Brexit about politics' impact on markets. Post-Trump's election too, there's been plenty of speculation stateside about the impact of politics on the market. It's understandable, perhaps, that people seek to find cause and effect between political and market moves. But is it relevant? Well, there can be some drivers from policy initiatives, as David Lefkowitz explains.
I think it's always dangerous. I mean, Trump has been unprecedented in many respects, but I don't think any president has come out before and pointed to the stock market as the validation of his or her policies. So stock markets can be fickle. So, you know, a lot of times you don't want to necessarily use that as evidence. But anyway, I do think that there are, you know, we talked about the fact that the economy is getting a bit better globally as a driver of the market gains. But I do think the market is also baking in some expectation for some policy initiatives that could boost growth in the shorter term. So I think there is some truth behind the notion that the market gains since the election, at least in part, have been driven by some of the potential policy initiatives. But now we're also seeing the rubber is kind of hitting the road on policy, and certainly many of these initiatives are going to take a little bit longer to get implemented, and many of them face a bit of an uphill climb in the Congress.
It can be hard not to factor in developments like Trump's administration. But when considering if there are market drivers from policy initiatives, It's critical to remember how the political backdrop links to the real economy, as Jeremy Zirin explains.
We've seen over the past 3 months is we've actually seen a pickup in economic activity post the November election. We've seen a pickup in consumer sentiment data. We've seen a pickup in small business optimism. And some of the economic acceleration we were seeing predated the election, to be sure, but we have seen that continue and hasn't been thwarted by simply the election of Donald Trump with a Republican Congress. I think the other factor is, given the importance for earnings for the market, that the market is looking at the prospects for tax reform to potentially significantly boost corporate earnings. So while there's still lots of negotiations around the different policies from a Trump administration, what will be the legislative priorities? Will tax reform take place, you know, in 2017, in 2018? Will it happen at all? How will it be structured? Lots of uncertainty around that. But that does seem to be a potential boost to corporate earnings, where the absence of tax reform wouldn't necessarily be a negative. It would be more of a status quo.
Through all of this, it's important to remain mindful of significant regional variations in equity performance and, consequently, the range of opportunities out there. Absolutely, says David Lefkowitz.
The global economic cycle is not in sync. By what I mean by that is that the U.S. has been largely in an expansion for almost 8 years, whereas obviously we had sort of a double-dip recession in Europe, the global financial crisis, then the European sovereign issues, which caused another recession. And then a lot of the rest of the world is really just emerging from the slowdown that we saw in 2015, you know, really caused by the commodity bust, especially in emerging markets. So the different regions of the world are at different points in their business cycles, and there very well could be better opportunities outside of the United States, just given that some regions are just much earlier in their recovery from a more recent recession. So yeah, regional differences are very important.
Which leads us on to look at the varied global picture in more detail. In general, Asia trades at a discount to the rest of the world. We asked Adrian Zurcher to give us the background and to explain how that discount can be rather volatile.
Asia historically always traded at some levels of discount, but actually this discount can be very volatile. So during the strong growth period between 2003 and 2008, actually this discount was diminished, and actually Asian emerging markets, the broader emerging markets, were trading even at the premium. So over the last 5 years, the discount has again built up, and it's actually quite large at this stage.
How do they deal with that volatility? What's the strategy?
First of all, we are truly global investors, so we want to have a nation bias. We think it's the growth region. The equity return should be higher, but as you mentioned, volatility also should be higher in the region. So we want to balance this out and investing in the US and in Europe, and that's creating quite diversified good portfolio. Now, in Asia, the opportunities are here. We think, in particular at the moment, they're trading at a discount of around 20% to global equity markets. They're trading at a discount of almost 30% to the U.S. equity market. So the relative attractiveness in terms of valuation is definitely in favor of Asia, but we also need earnings growth. So we look very much on what's going on, earnings growth and trends.
Sebastian Salek, too, is quick to point out that there are key regional differences in this space.
Well, you're certainly seeing stocks higher in other regions. In Europe, the benchmark Stoxx 600 has been flirting with and hitting around about a one-year high, although it's shy of a record high, the likes that we're seeing in the US on many indexes, not just the S&P, it's the NASDAQ and the Dow. We've both seen hit record highs as well. But by technical indicators, European stocks aren't overvalued. Similarly in Japan, and you see a divergence between the US and Japan, because while the S&P 500 dividend yield falls, Japan's Topix dividend yield rises, and that makes the shares relatively cheaper, even more than before, versus their US counterparts. That spread there is the smallest since November. So there's some element of diversion between the East and the West when we look at global equities.
Does Jeremy Zirin agree that it's important to remain mindful of these regional variations?
Yeah, we do think that the bull market continues outside of the U.S. as well. We favor the U.S. relative to other global regions, but we do have an overweight to a broad diversified basket of global equities relative to very low yielding bonds. So the cyclical pickup that I was mentioning that over the past few weeks in the U.S. isn't simply a U.S. phenomenon. We're also seeing, you know, leading economic indicators outside of the U.S. generally improve. And I would say that from a tactical perspective, we have the most confidence in the U.S. earnings outlook. But from a longer-term perspective, getting back to our discussion on valuation, the valuation opportunities outside of the U.S. certainly do look more attractive. Europe, the Eurozone, and emerging markets certainly have the potential for stronger, longer-term, multi-year returns, given their lower valuation and the potential for them to have a more significant earnings ramp from a lower base over a multi-year period relative to the more expensive and the more cyclically high in their earnings picture in the U.S. market.
Finally, on the program, back to Hong Kong for a further Asia perspective, looking at the medium and even longer-term picture. What does Adrian Zurcher consider that the corporate and macro picture tell us?
There will be definitely moments where volatility will pick up. There's the potential for corrections. But looking at the macroeconomic momentum, looking at what's going on the corporate side, looking at what's going on the political side with Mr. Trump intending to spend more with China basically on a more solid footing and the government more focusing on fiscal stimulus, and also in Europe, slowly things start to improve. We actually do think that the global equity market has legs to go up further. At the same time, volatility will be here. We are multi-asset class investors. That's how we are specialized. So we always would mix in some sort of fixed income exposure and managing a global asset allocation portfolio which is diversified and actually can level out some of the bumps that we will see along the lines, but still produce very interesting returns.
And that's Adrian Zurcher bringing us to the end of this 126th edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. Listen again and find out more at monocle.com or catch up via iTunes, SoundCloud or your preferred podcast platform. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.